everybody, and welcome to Indie Film Cafe. I'm your host, Jonathan Mini. I'm here with...
Polly Presents It, known as the Moo Cow. Moo!
And I'm Lenore. Hi!
Hi!
Alright, so we are going to talk about a little movie, because they don't even know what we're watching yet. We're going to watch a little movie by a director named J.R. Buchwalter. It is called Polymorph, and it stars James L. Edwards and Ariana Albright, and... it is just a fun movie. I really enjoy this movie, and I can't wait to show these to these guys. They have never seen it. I don't think, Paul, you've never seen it,
nope,
right?
Nope, never heard of it. Don't know anything about it.
Yes,
I've never heard of it.
Yes, it's a sci-fi, kind of campy, kind of fun little flick. It's kind of like Reservoir Dogs meets like Aliens or Predator, more like Predator. So it's a little fun little project. It was made, you know, 1996, so it's the graphics aren't very great, but that's the point, you know.
So Reservoir Predators. Huh?
It's Reservoir Predators. Nice. So get ready for Reservoir Predators, aka Polymorph.
All right.
So
thank
you
guys
for, you know, get ready for some
mood music.
And guess what? It is storming like hell out here.
Oh, yeah. We had to abandon the studio and go to the lab building because the fire alarms went off and we got chased out.
It may sound a little different, maybe even better. I don't know.
It's a little echoey in here. We're in the kitchen area, the little kitchenette of the lab building that I do my lab work in. So, you know, this was better than nothing, and at least the fire alarms aren't going off, but you may hear... thunder and stuff outside. We can't help that. It's just what's happening.
You're most likely going to hear thunder because it's loud.
It was loud in here.
And unfortunately, we left the monkey behind to burn, so there's no continuity monkey here to comment.
He's not going to burn. I hope not. I really hope not, because I would miss him.
The monkeys are fine.
Yeah.
There was no fire when we left.
We didn't see any smoke, no fire.
Yeah, but hopefully, you said that the fire people are on their way or something?
I don't know. I assume that's what happens when the fire alarms go off. So.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
We'll see.
Anyway, we're here to talk about Polymorph.
Polymorph.
Which Paul brought it to my attention that this actually doesn't have to do with Polymorph,
not
though.
Not really, no.
But, you know,
it did a little when it started morphing into them.
It didn't really, the body jumped is really the point that I was getting at. It's not like it kept one body and then altered itself into something else.
Well, it did a little.
A little, maybe.
Near the end when, like, he shot his fingers off, but the other one had still had them.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
You know, but they only did it the one time. It really jumped bodies is what was going on.
Yeah, it started taking over people's bodies.
Dead bodies.
I waited for them to die. I guess, I mean, maybe that was the thing. They couldn't actually come in when, you know, it was never really fully explained, but
I
actually like those kind of movies where there's no explanation because in real life, there's not going to be some person that's going to say, hey, you know, that's what those alien...
Alien, get back in your ship because you're not doing it properly according to the word you used.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
so,
well, I guess we should back up and start... from the beginning, who made the movie, what it's about.
Okay, so it was my pick because I'm a huge fan of J.R. Buchwalter, who directed the film. Also a big fan of James L. Edwards, who I've worked on a movie called Mama's Boy, co-wrote a movie called Mama's Boy with him. It's a short film that we did that's coming out next year. We also are writing another short script. So I thought, you know, in honor of all that, let's watch, like, the first, like, big feature that he wrote. Now, James L. Edwards is an actor. He's like, the star of this movie. Even though he doesn't come in until, like, I think 15 minutes in or so.
Mm-hmm.
And he, basically made this, you know, wrote this movie. And James L., or J.R. Buchwalter directed the film. It stars James L. Edwards, Ariana Albright... Tom Hoover, Sasha Graham, and a ton of other actors. Who else? I'll read off the list. Then there's also Joseph Dahl, Jennifer Huss, Pam Zatelli, and that was the other girl who was part of the troop, the group of bad criminals. You know,
the bad guys.
The bad guys. Leo and Cassio, which was Franco, which is a guy sounded like Inigo Montoya. We kind of joked about that.
Right.
Pete Jasalone, who played the Dr. Lester Clark, who's actually a director of his own, directed a lot of movies, including Psycho Sisters and Psycho Street. Tons of Psycho movies,
gotcha.
I guess. You know, tons of other stuff.
Psycho.
And Michael Razzo played the security guard who comes in and everything. And he's a big producer slash I think he is a distributor as well.
Right.
So up in New Jersey, he does a lot of those, you know, kind of cheapy.
Surrender Cinema. I think he's involved with those guys. And
yeah, Cinema. Yes, yeah, those guys who do like Landshark and tons of goofy little movies that I think maybe even some of the ones that Misty Monday has been a part of. So yeah, so those are the people that were in it, and the movie. Let's I guess go right into the plot
a little
bit.
What was it? 1996.
So Sasha Grahame plays this like chick who's like holding out in a, like, there's a meteor that hits, right, and lands, and there's a crash site. Basically, Sasha Grahame's getting paranoid. She thinks there's somebody outside her.
She's a tweaked-out cocaine fiend.
Her name is Tarper, and we kept thinking it was Harper,
right.
And then it was Tarper. And she is a pretty tweaked-out, like, cocaine fiend who is I guess she is and sampling the merch that she's supposed to
big
be giving
time.
Over I don't know why they're waiting so long, like I don't know if that was ever discussed, but the point was that she was supposed to wait for a while you know, for them to kind of get there, the criminals to get there, but they had to wait till Wednesday for some reason, so she had to wait out in this cabin by herself. And there's a scientist and a security guard. Don't know what the security guard was there for, security, but like...
I guess he was assigned to him from the corporation that the guy was working at.
Right. So they went out to check the crash site, and he says, you know, he's going to call in his interns to come check it out and everything. And he wanted to use a phone, which was a little weird. So they went to like a house, but like, I guess he had already called them on his phone, but... his phone didn't work, right? So he had to go to another phone, like it wasn't working. So he had to go to use another phone at the house, and the girl is freaking out because they stumble on her cocaine.
Yeah, right in the middle of snorting up, I think they walk right in, and she doesn't take too kindly to that.
Mm-mm.
And she just kills the one guy outright.
She really should have just pretended she was a baker.
Yeah, something like that. I'm making cookies. Cocaine cookies.
These are all just pre-made mixes. Just ignore them.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't even know why she would say come in if like she knew she had all that stuff. She'd like hide it or something normally.
Well,
but
she has to kill them, so.
Yeah, she has. They have to die. I mean, you know, that's the type of movie this is. So the main, you know, the security guy dies. The, you know, and then she kind of makes the other guy carry the security guy to the lake or whatever, the little
reservoir,
the swamp, send out the body, and then she kills him and, like, sends his body out. And then, by the way, I mean, once again, all of these reviews that we do are spoilers. We're going to tell the whole story.
Whole story,
so if
baby.
You have not seen it and you want to see it, go see it first and then come listen to our podcast about it. So... basically, the Tarper comes back.
There was an exchange of gunfire, because remember, the security guard actually shot her in the leg.
Right.
So when she's out there getting rid of the bodies, that's when the green thingy that landed from the meteor gets into her leg, and she's like, oh, there's something in my leg, and that's unfortunate. And then she crawls back.
Which goes into our discussion before about whether or not... the polymorph can go into just the dead people or alive people, too.
There's a few inconsistencies.
Yeah.
You know, you roll with it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, maybe it's not inconsistencies. Maybe it's just like, it's just they can do whatever, you
know. It's like the phone at the cabin works sometimes, but not all the time.
Right. So anyway, so they go, she goes, yeah, the thing gets into her leg, and she goes back, and she calls up her boss again to tell him, like, you know, that there's some people that are supposed to be coming, and that she has this thing in her leg. And
yeah, by the way, there's this green thing that crawled inside my leg. It's like, what do you mean it's on your leg? She goes, no, it's in my leg.
Yes, it's in her leg, and she can't get it out. And it kind of creeped you out at one point, I think, Lenore.
Yeah, that was kind of creepy.
It, like, pulsated a little bit.
It's green and creepy.
No, I mean, it was like, I think it was like the blood, like, pulsated or something of hers. And it was pretty cool. Like, yeah, we'll get to the special effects later as part of our show.
Focus.
Yes. So, let's go back. So, then all of a sudden, we meet the people, kind of. We've met them a little bit before, but they're treating this like a date.
Right, the interns
finally
arrived.
Yeah, the interns finally arrived. They're treating this like a date. They're going to the camp. Area where this whole stuff happened and everything.
Right.
And
they're supposed to be meeting the doctor. They think they're meeting the doctor, but then they no longer care that they're meeting the doctor because they assume he's gone and have left them for the weekend.
Well, they do care because later they keep bringing it back up. Like, what happened to him? Why is this, like, is he playing a prank on us? Is this, like...
Well, Dante cares, but the other guy doesn't.
Well, tell him a little bit about that.
So, yeah, I guess the first thing when your boy came in, first thing that hit me was, oh, my God, he looks like Dante Hicks.
Yeah,
he shouldn't even be here this way today.
Oh, poor James L. Edwards. I think you got that a lot, you know.
It's not a bad thing to be, you know, mixed up for.
I guess. I mean, it could be worse, you
right,
know.
Right, right,
you know, anyway, so, yeah, so... you know, so I think he's going to keep referring to him as Dante throughout this whole podcast, by the way. Sorry, James.
Because we're Clark's fans and we're Kevin Smith fans.
We're Kevin Smith fans, so. And I think he is, too, so I think he would get a kick out of that. And this, like, I think when I described it before, I said Reservoir Dogs meets Predator, and
right.
I think really that is probably one of the better descriptions of this movie. Because it is very much a crime drama, action horror movie, you know. So to go back, so you know they, I don't know if I want to tell the whole story. There's a lot that actually happens. Basically, the drug dealers meet up with the interns, and things kind of go south from there. People start dying.
There's an actual Mexican standoff.
Later, they split up, and the girl dies. The girl gets shot.
The blonde chick.
Yeah, she gets shot, and the guy...
Ooh.
And then the thing takes over starts taking over everybody.
Right.
That ends up dead, including her at the end, toward the end. So, and then there's this really, like, I mean, the ending just goes, like, whoa.
Yeah, I hated the ending.
Lenore was not a fan of the ending, honestly.
No, I was not.
Oh, why was that?
Why did the bad guy live?
Well, bad guys do live. That's
the
thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean... She wanted the bad guy to be the one who broke his, like, spine. But, unfortunately, James L. Edwards' character, you know, broke his spine. And
I liked his character.
Of course we liked his character. He was meant to be the most likable character. He wasn't even supposed to be there today. And yet he's the one with the spine bent backwards in half.
Yeah, that creeped me out.
Yeah.
And the girl.
And they kind of left him there to flop.
And the red-haired girl.
Oh,
I liked
her
a lot.
She was cool.
Yeah.
And then they both died.
Yep, they both died.
All the interns died, but I cared about those two in particular.
Which
right.
I was surprised because I had seen it years ago and I hadn't watched it since. And I forgot, you know, the ending and everything. But I was like thinking that one of them had the thing at the end or something, you know, or whatever.
Well, that's what I would have thought. But no, Colors was just a jerk.
Yeah, so Carlos just shoots, you know, shoots...
in his own car. Doesn't care about the mess. or the leaving of
very much like Pulp Fiction,
clues.
I guess.
Yeah.
You know, you shoot the person. Now he's got to find, you know.
Once you get in there and get all those little bitty pieces of skull and brain.
Exactly. Get the wolf to come find it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so poor guy. You know, poor guys like James L. Edwards and Ariana Albright were not, like, this was not something, like, any of them were, like, whatever, right? They were dealt with this hand, they had to deal with it. And they were doing so well, but, you know, there were things that, and I guess we can go into that. Like, you said before, there were some inconsistencies, a little bit. And I'll agree, because I'll say that the things that I didn't like is the fact that when you got shot by the things, like, you really, you know, they actually got shot, obviously, right? So, a lot of times, like, they didn't seem to be in that much pain after the thing got out of them. You know, maybe a little bit later, like, I know James L. Edwards' character got, you keep making me want to call him Dante.
It's perfect. He just looks like Dante.
Ted. Ted was his name.
He was Ted? I thought the other guy was Ted.
No, Ted was Ted. Was the main guy.
So now you got me thinking Ted Ring.
Yeah, well, maybe that might have been where it came up with things. They are big.
Who was purple shirt guy?
What purple shirt guy?
He was the guy, the jerky intern, who was boyfriends of the blonde.
Oh, yeah. His name was Bill.
Bill.
Okay.
So there's Bill and Ted. Really? Really? I didn't even notice that.
Just
Bill and Ted? Did you?
No.
Accidentally adventure.
Wow. Come on, James. Bill and Ted.
There you
seriously?
Go.
Oh my God, I did not even realize that.
Facing death, just like in the movies.
They face the music. That's the new one, by the way. That's coming out next year, I think.
Dear.
It should be Bill and Ted in a retirement home, but yeah. But this was Bill and Ted meet polymorph thing?
Alien thing?
Predator?
Right.
I don't know.
Body-jumping critter. Green critter.
Yeah. God. Why am I just realizing this now after years of actually owning this movie? Oh, my God. But anyway. Yeah. So, there you go. That is something new that you hear on the Indie Film
Good
Network.
Job, Lenore. Picking that out.
Yeah. Even though you didn't technically pick it out, you said the name, so it made me go, oh wait, so there you go. But after that, you know, after like them get killed, you know, or whatever, getting hurt, they would still have the stuff inside them or whatever, or I mean, when they, like it just,
I know, bullets didn't seem to bother them much, but I guess fire drove them away?
Drove them away.
I think that was a reference. Wasn't that this other movie? Like, at a North Pole station?
Oh, you're talking about the thing?
Yes, yeah, it seemed like a reference to the thing.
Yeah, you could put it that way, yeah. It's interesting.
And they kept calling it the thing,
they
too.
Did.
So I think there was a little bit of a big reference to the thing, and maybe that's maybe that was a bit of the inspiration for it too.
And it was so like bright green, I kept thinking of The Stuff too. That was the other movie that crept in my head.
Actually, how big was it? Because it looked a lot bigger in the swamp.
I really couldn't tell. Like when it was usually the kind of the greeny special effect kind of covered up exactly what it was. So when it moved around without a body, I really couldn't tell what it was. It may have just been something that didn't really matter if you saw it or not. They just wanted you to see the movement. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, it's supposed to be an alien, so who the hell knows what an alien's supposed to look like?
Yeah, it was just a little thing,
you
know? It
was small because the meteor itself was small, like bowling ball-sized.
And it was much like the thing because, like, it the thing took over people's bodies, you know, right, and stuff. So maybe I guess it's more like Reservoir Dogs meets the thing instead of Predator, you know? So there you go.
Or instead of blood meets blood predator.
Oh my God. Let's
they were roughly made around the same time.
I know. I don't think they even knew that.
I don't think so.
It's just like a lot of people have the same kind of ideas when they make these movies and everything.
Oh, this was a million times better than Blood Predator.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. This will get a better review, I think. A better rating.
Yes.
At the end of it. So, special effects wise,
there were some issues.
What do you want to go over?
Well, it just they just seemed a little inconsistent. They were kind of used in a way that reminds me of kind of like cinematic ketchup. You know, we're not really sure exactly how we're going to show this, so we're just going to make a bright green flash. Like there are a few times when the alien has taken over a body, it's going to do something, so it grabs somebody, but instead of it just being like a green flash, there's all these green things going all over the place
the
and shooting up into heaven. And I thought that was a little much. You didn't have to sell me on that. I got
the
it.
Lightning?
Yeah, you know, I got it that it was being taken over by the alien.
Honestly, one thing I noticed that seemed a bit subtle is that when it left the dead bodies, their eyes were burned out.
I noticed that too. That was interesting.
That was pretty subtle. I liked that.
And it drank gasoline.
That was weird.
I wasn't sure if it used gasoline because I knew it fired some of the green energy a couple of times.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's laser or
weird. For something
spit.
That's afraid of fire, why is it shooting lightning? I'm drinking gasoline.
Yeah,
gasoline you would think would, like, you know, like,
make it more flammable.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe that's why. Because if it gets touched by light, you know, fire, it can.
I'm guessing the alien itself, the specifics are secondary to just kind of showing the characters getting involved in all this, and them dealing with each other and dealing with the threat. I think the alien itself was a little inconsistent, and some of the special effects weren't so great. But it's all right. You know, the meat of the story is them dealing with each other as characters and the situation that they've been put in, and
sometimes that, having to work together,
right?
And
working together with people you don't like and being forced to, yeah.
Which, okay, so I know we're talking about special effects, but I have to mention this before I forget it, is the scene where there was no gas in the, I never even thought about that. Maybe the thing drank all the gas in the...
Oh, it did.
It did, okay.
Yeah.
But, like, it never really fully said that or anything, so...
She goes over and undoes the gas cap.
Oh, yeah,
sticks
okay.
her hand there, and then you see the little green...
But stuff. I thought she did that in the actual gas can, not, you know, like, she was drinking...
She didn't drink out of the can, she drank out of the car.
Okay, all right, it's...
I know. That's a little confusing sometimes.
Yeah. So you drink out of the car, get the gas, and then, you know.
And then, presumably, she's the one who disabled the other two's cars. I'm not sure how. They didn't really
I thought it was the drug dealers. Yeah. I thought they made sure that these people were gone or whatever. Because, remember, they did tell, you know, that there were people that were coming. So they probably knew about them and disabled their car.
By the time they left, the cars were gone anyway.
That was like a continuity error. So sadly,
squeak.
we don't have the monkey here.
Squeak, squeak.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's my best monkey imitation.
The thing was when they talked about how far away town was, and they were near a main road, and they said it's 7 miles. We'll never make it. That stood out. 7 miles isn't that far.
Yeah, I suppose. I wouldn't want to walk it, but you know,
true,
I'm
but
lazy.
It's not insurmountable, especially if you're
lazy,
healthy enough to go camping.
Lazy man, and I don't want to walk 10 feet if I don't have to.
Yeah, well, yeah, and they're wondering about the miles and stuff, and they're like, oh, it's 7 miles. We'll never make it. But you'll never make 7 miles.
Well,
like,
Dante never will because he was folded in half. For God's sakes,
well, right
now.
Earlier
than that.
Yeah, earlier he might have made it.
Yeah.
If he had kept up with it or whatever. But they wouldn't have made it because they got attacked like right in the right when they were bickering. You know, there's a lot of bickering
and
too.
That's the other thing I was gonna say is that's one of the things that, you know, I always get hooked on is that there's when there's not a lot to go for your characters, you can get them to bicker. And there were two sets of bickering. I mean the bad guys were bickering long before they even met up with the interns, and the interns were kind of somewhat bickering a little bit. So it was kind of odd. But, you know, the thing is that we're getting set up so that Dante and red-haired chick are going to be sort of together. They have this sort of sweet awkwardness between them and some interesting dialogue, and that's what's cool. But unfortunately,
Donna. Yes,
that's
Ariana Albright's character's Donna. And I liked her from the very beginning because she was you know, she was acceptable to him no matter what, you know? Like, she wasn't gonna, like, let him be, like, even though he it didn't seem interested, she was gonna let him, like, be like that,
right,
so.
Right, she was cool.
Are we done with the special effects, or is there more stuff you wanted to say about that?
Well, then there's the beginning special effects with the outer space stuff.
Yeah, the spaceship and everything that looks
that
very...
a little cartoonish.
Yeah. It looked
it's
even...
okay.
Yeah.
For the time?
For the time, it was... I mean, that is what a those kind of things look like back,
right.
You know, like
and
in the 90s.
I'm pretty sure that's why visually they kind of went the way they did, because, I mean, they probably understood... they needed to have some special effects in the film, and because there's not a big budget in order to sort of, you know, to get really, really good special effects, going to go with what we've got, and we might as well kind of go campy with it, and that's why you had the colorful dissolves and the little scrolls up top saying, meanwhile, you know, they kind of rolled with it. And
it's comic booky.
Yeah.
It looked like a comic book, and that was cool. Like, you know, I like that. I dug it.
So I didn't mind... the sort of comic booky feel of the beginning with the outer space stuff, because you know initially it was kind of like, oh boy, here we go, thinking I'm in for a low budget stinker, but they rolled with it and they used it to their advantage and folded it into the way that they're telling the stories, which I thought was a wise idea.
Yeah, it could have made it an interesting comic book, you know, like if they had done more with the story with the polymorph coming in and taking over other people's bodies and stuff like that. So maybe that's what they were planning, you know, for later or something. And just
so you'll
happen.
Have to ask your buddy and see what he says.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we'll have to maybe interview him someday on that
go.
Stuff. But let's see. Let's talk a little bit about the actors, the acting.
So this movie was over 20 years ago then.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So the actors, we've got James L. Edwards, as we said before, playing the title role of Ted. And then we've got Ariana Albright as Donna. And as we said, we really liked both of them together. This isn't like the first time that they've worked together, I don't think. I think they've worked together on J.R.'s movie before.
Okay.
And the next time that they had done it is actually a better movie, believe it or not, but the next movie that they did was Bloodletting, and it's like one of my favorites, but I'm going to wait that for another time,
okay.
You know, or
well,
whatever.
Well, they clearly had some chemistry together, so that was good. It was good to see that. I mean, we have sat through movies where the leads, you know, bicker, or they have to deal with each other for most of the movie, and you can tell there's just no chemistry, barely any communication, and it just didn't work. This was good. These guys definitely worked together, and it showed.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they were good actors.
Yeah.
Like the scene of them talking at the campsite felt pretty believable.
And I have to say that about pretty much all the performances. I don't think anybody gave a bad performance. I think they were all good.
Yeah. I agree. Like, I don't think anybody made, you know, well, the Inigo Montoya guy.
Oh, well.
You thought, you know, like.
His accent was a little unfortunate.
Yeah, and I don't know if that was like a real accent or if that's a fake accent, you know, that he did for that character.
It got away in a little bit.
Yeah, so I felt like it did kind of, at times, it was like, I felt like it was like that in the movie Ed Wood, where you see Tor Johnson saying all those lines, because you actually said, why did he give him all those lines, you know, kind of thing. Like, he gave him a lot to say, and I thought he did a pretty... you know, decent job.
My name is Rocco. You buddy jumped into my partner. Prepare to die.
Yeah. He was pretty good, though. I liked him. And his character, just sometimes he said things, you know, his character said things that were just a little weird.
Well, he was the only one out of the criminal foursome that had went any redeeming qualities to him.
Yeah. He was the nice guy.
Nicer one of the bunch.
Yeah. He was the one that kind of, he felt bad for everybody. And stuff. He even asked at one point, like, "Are, you know, what are we gonna do with them? You know, or whatever." And Carlos didn't give a crap because Carlos and Tom Hoover, who played Carlos, was wonderful. But he just like his character just did not care at all for any of these other, you know, anybody. Like, it didn't seem like he cared at all about anybody's life. And then, you know,
right.
Even though there was that one scene with him and Donna where he's kind of. Or no, it was Ted. something like that moment with Ted where they're kind of bonding, you know, when he's helping stitch him up or whatever, and then, you know, they start laughing or whatever, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
it was just a nice moment. It was like, oh my God. So they did a good job because they made you actually somewhat care for Carlos for even like a split second of time, even though he was a jerk though, you know, throughout the whole movie, you know, up until the end too,
right,
when
right.
he killed Ariana off.
And that was a nice little twist, even though none of us really cared for it. We always like to see kind of something a little nicer, a little happier, but it's not outside of Carlos's character that he does this.
Yeah, that he killed anybody. Lenore just wanted all of them to live, you know, which is a sign of a good movie, I think. You know, when
yeah.
you actually care about the characters enough to say, you know, like, I wish, you know, they had lived instead of gotten killed. But, you know, maybe that's why they did that, because now people are going to be like, oh, man, I wish they had lived, you know, instead of, you know, with them having a happy ending of them leaving, you know, which I wonder if there ever was, like, an alternate idea of, you know, that kind
yeah,
of
thing. Well, you know, that's one of the things is that sometimes I wish we would watch the commentary, too, because there was commentary on there, wasn't there?
Yeah, there's commentary, and I think there was the behind-the-scenes,
too. There's probably some explanations of different things going on. And it's not like we don't want to watch it. It's just, you know, trying to compress everything we see into the amount of time we have for these podcasts is rough, but at some point I wouldn't mind checking that out.
Yeah, I think it would be a pretty good...
So, Lenore, what did you think about the acting?
I thought it was good acting. I thought Bill could have been toned down a little too, but I guess it was pretty realistic for, like, how old was he, 18?
Oh, he's got to be older than that.
He's got to be older than that. I think he's pushing 30, almost like, you know, in his late 20s.
Mm.
Well, I think his character was probably early 20s, is what I would have guessed.
Okay.
The actor's probably older than that.
Yeah, I felt like... I don't know, a little annoyed by him. He seemed kind of horny.
Oh, he was douchey. There's
yeah.
no two ways about it.
Yeah, I wish that had been toned down, but I guess that's just how the character was written. So, overall, good acting.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. He was pretty much written to be kind of, I think, a tool, you know. Basically, you're not supposed to care about him necessarily, you know, or...
Which we don't.
Yeah, and... you're not... But you are supposed to kind of care about his girlfriend.
Oh,
because,
yeah, she's very sweet.
Yeah, his girlfriend the whole time is just this sweet chick who, you know, is kind of telling him, I don't think we're supposed to be out here, and, you know, why are we out here? That kind of thing. And,
although it's funny, you know, when they get to do their little smooching scene, and she's like, I love you. And I'm like, why?
I felt that way too.
It's like, why? Why do the nice pretty girls go for the douchebags? It's one of those life's questions that we'll never know.
It happens all the time.
It does.
And it's, you know, it's just what some people are attracted to, I guess.
He's not even a bad boy. He was just an irritating boy.
He was just a jerk. You know, like, he was just
very self-centered.
Yes.
He was just a flat-out jerk, you know.
So, Lenore, coming at this from a scientific point of view, what did you think of these? Because this is kind of a science fiction-y sort of a tale. What did you think about that?
Well, the alien was bizarre.
Let's call it a xenomorph, since we're not really sure exactly what it's supposed to look like.
Yeah, I suppose an amorphous blob could be sentient at some point. Not sure how it would have done things like figure out how to talk and stuff.
Yeah, it seemed to master English pretty quickly. I guess that's what happens when you take over the dead body of a species you've just encountered.
Not just talking in English, it seemed to figure out acting pretty fast, too.
So, do you think that's what its purpose was? Because judging by what we see in the beginning when it's coming off the spaceship, and it's purposely sent here, so you think its purpose was to do what it is that it did?
I suppose it could have been like a... Have you seen the movie Brightburn? They made a really big deal about brood parasites.
I never saw it.
Oh, well, a brood parasite is kind of like a wasp relative to honeybees. And it's designed to kind of mimic them, get in the group, and then kill them from inside.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
That might have been what this was supposed to be.
Huh.
Okay, cool.
Float that question at your buddy. Was that supposed to be a brood parasite? And everybody was like, huh?
That's a scientific response, you know.
But it's an interesting theory. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah?
I mean, it does sort of kind of explain some of its actions. You know, clearly it wants to kill the people. I'm not exactly sure why. I mean, I guess it's just a bad, evil alien. But it has its chances, and it doesn't do it. I mean, it had the three bad guys all locked in a room. It could have just killed them all. They didn't even have weapons, but instead she just opens the door and lets them out. So it's a little inconsistent there, too. I mean, you could have just killed them, and then hunting the others down would have been nice and easy.
Right.
But then again, I'm not sure what its motivation is. Is that why it's there, is to kill people? Is it having fun? Is it gathering information?
Yeah, there's nothing into the whole world of the alien. Like, you don't really find out anything other than there's an alien
right.
killing
its
everybody.
Its purpose there is to drive the plot of getting these people to work together when they don't want to work together, and then to kill off folks.
Right. So really there was no, you know, there's nothing there with that. You know what I mean? But I don't know. I thought it was an interesting, you know, kind of thing. That it was like that. Like, it was I don't even know how to explain it.
Okay.
My brain is, like, fried right now because of the lightning and everything.
You got struck by lightning, didn't you?
I feel like I have. I dug the alien creature. I just wish that there was some more information about it.
Yeah. It reminded me a little bit, and of course I can't remember names or anything anymore because this is what happens when you get old, but it reminded me an awful lot of, who's the guy in Twin Peaks, the guy who played the lead?
He was in a movie,
Hidden Something or Other, where the alien is jumping around from body to body and he's got to chase after him. He actually plays the alien who's coming down to chase after them. Forget the damn name of the film. It was really a good film. But
are you talking about Kyle MacLachlan?
Yes, Kyle MacLachlan.
You're not talking about Dune, are you?
No.
You said The Hidden Something?
Yeah. I think that's what it was called.
I will look it up right now, actually.
It was mid-80s.
Mid-80s. The Hidden.
The Hidden, yeah. That's what it was. That's what it reminded me of.
Figure out the title and he had it right there the whole time.
So that's what it reminded me a lot of. So, yeah, kind of jumping from body to body, and then he's got to track it down and doesn't know which body it is until it's already jumped into the next one, and he's got to figure out because it's leaving a trail of corpses, and it was pretty cool. This it reminded me a little bit of that. So
cool.
Less of polymorph and more of a body jumping.
Yeah. Like Invasion of the Body Snatchers or something like that, except... Not or like the pod people, or not pod people, there's the other one. The Puppet Master, whatever, you know, or
okay.
I think that's what it was called. The one with that Robert Heinlein did. I think that was
War of the Worlds.
No,
that was H.G. Wells.
Yeah, that was H.G. Wells. Puppet Master, I think it was called Puppet Masters. It was with Donald Sutherland. Slugs. This kind of reminds me of that. Like, there's like little thing. Like, there's a little slug. So that kind of goes into everything. If you watch the movie The Faculty with Robert Rodriguez, which was made around like right after this movie, actually 1998, it is about like a slug that comes in to, you know, or whatever, a parasite. You know, kind of thing.
It's very interesting because we have been watching Star Trek Next Generation, and first season towards the end, there is that whole episode where the Federation is being invaded by a group of alien slug-like creatures that go into your body and they take over your brain and they have their own agenda. They're trying to open up an invasion of the whole Federation.
They were supposed to be the Borg, but the that more insect-looking thing took too much. Took too much of their budget, so they turned into the more mechanized version instead.
It was pretty cool. So, and that would have been, 1986, 87?
Well, right, but Robert Heinlein had written the Puppet Master thing way before then, so I think maybe they took it from Robert Heinlein and everything, and people taken that from, you know, different movies and maybe
maybe
a little bit of this.
It's been an ongoing theme for some time, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's an interesting riff on the same theme.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff like that. And especially with this movie, I think this movie kind of does that a lot, you know, does that well.
Right, and you see, it's something like a major movie, like a Hollywood movie, like The Hidden, you can stretch that out so that it's going all, you know, they have these big chases, they go all over the place, there's huge amount of sets and different people. Smaller film, you don't have the budget for that, so of course you're going to have it shot one cabin and one patch of woods, and you do the best you can with what you've got.
And that brings me back to my thing before of telling you, like, that I don't usually like movies where they're all set in one location. This movie at least had, like, the woods, you know, and it was all over the woods. That was kind of cool.
Right.
I always like that. I always like woods movies, you know, or whatever. I like Friday the 13th, you know, those movies or whatever where they're set in some of the woods.
Rock.
Yes. Was it? What's that other one? I mean, I've been in them, like, you know, Zombie Isle was.
And because it's cheap and easy to just go out in a patch of woods and shoot something. It's great.
And,
so,
you know, yeah, and you don't have to worry about lighting much because
right?
you just
natural
use
light.
Natural light. So, I mean, it's a better thing at times
sure.
than shooting.
Oh, yeah. How many movies have we seen or reviewed where we talk about we can't see anything because they didn't have enough lights? We can't hear anything because it didn't do the sound properly, you know, day for night shooting. It just wasn't handled right. This was handled right.
Yeah, this movie was done very well. Now, let's talk about the writing of the film. You had mentioned that it was talky.
I found it a little overwritten and a little talky. I think from a realistic point of view, a lot of these characters, especially the bad ones, would just be doing stuff and not saying things, not be,
right.
you know,
yeah.
broadcasting their feelings and stuff.
Well, as we said before, like I always said Reservoir Dogs, it's very Quentin Tarantino-esque, you know, a lot of the dialogue, it's got its own little thing, but it definitely has like some of that where people are just talking and, you know, instead of like, you know, doing a lot, you know, or whatever.
And, you know, I understand that the Tarantino-esque qualities in that when they are talking, they're at least trying to be stylistic about it.
Right. And they're not, you know, like Ted and Donna have this, like, really great fireside chat. I think you mentioned that.
Really real. Like, I think I've had that conversation with people before.
Right. And so they were just chit-chatting about, like, their feelings and everything like that. And
so
it was,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, the sorry. That was...
Yeah.
That was pretty... I almost wanted to start this whole podcast saying, I'm sorry. But then I was like, I think they might take that the wrong way.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm not sorry for this movie. I'm just sorry for... There's a lot of talk about being, you know, of sorry. And then there's even one line where she says it, and he goes, I got you doing it.
Right. That was cute.
Yeah. It was cute. It was like... The whole movie is kind of a cute movie. It's,
right.
You know, until the murder starts.
And had it been more bickering, I'd have been a lot harder about it. But it was, you know, like you said, there was more character-building dialogue, which was good.
Yeah. So the writing was really good. James did a fantastic job. But I think this is, like, his first feature film. I think he might have done I don't know if he wrote a short or anything, but this is his first, like, big feature that he did. And he wrote it for J.R. Bookwalter because they had worked together. James was an actor since the beginning of J.R.'s career.
So what else has J.R. Bookwalter directed? Because I'm not familiar with him.
Okay, so the director, J.R. Bookwalter, which we can go into the directing of it. He has done The Dead Next Door, a movie called Ozone, a movie called, Chick Boxer. You know.
Oh yeah, I know Chick Boxer.
Yeah, okay. So you remember the because Tempe put out the the Bad Movie Police. You know, that's what
right.
J.R. Bookwalter did, and so
okay.
there were like these two. One of them was Ariana Albright, and the other one was Lilia Stabbs.
God, I forgot all about that.
And they would go around and they would watch. They would like arrest bad movie makers.
Right.
And
it was cute.
And it was all J.R.'s movies.
And I think most of those are up on YouTube, aren't they?
I think so. If not, they were at one point on Amazon.
Because I know I've seen them. That's where I saw them, was on YouTube.
I know he has like problems selling DVDs now or something. So now everything is like streaming or whatnot. He actually was selling all his stuff off, you know, or whatever. I think he probably still has, you know, DVDs if people want some. It's just a sad... We're in a sad state right now where like people are streaming more than they're actually buying DVDs.
And that's really not a good thing, especially, you know, when you want to own the media itself, because you stream it, sure, you can watch it, but then you don't own it, and you'll probably never own it. And even if you think you have it, you don't.
Yeah, if Amazon one day were to, like, go bankrupt, God forbid,
or
you know,
change ownership.
Or change ownership.
Or just change the rules whenever they feel like it.
Well, they do that all the time, too.
Right.
And I think even JR got some of his movies kicked off because of too much, like, nudity
or
something.
Ridiculous. People, and that happens all the time, which is why I always say, I want the physical medium. I got it. I can do whatever I want with it. It's mine. You can't take it away. You can't curtail my use of it, you know?
For sure.
Now, I'm not going to go out and, you know, charge money to watch it, which is the original reason all this stuff happens, is that you don't want to be stealing money away from the people who are making it. I totally get that, but I'm not going to be doing that. But I want to own that medium because, like I said, I have control over it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else can take it away from me.
Exactly. So he directed a bunch of these things. I thought the direction was pretty good. What did
sure.
you think, Lenore?
Overall, I'd say it was a good movie. I just wish it ended differently.
See, well, that's the writing. That was James's choice, I think. And as much as you didn't like it, I really did like the ending. So, I mean, not that I cared about the characters, but overall, I think I care for the characters more than that they died.
Yeah, I mean, you know, from a cinematography point of view, I thought it was shot well. Like I said, I did not notice any lighting issues or, you know, we weren't staring at goofy shit that we're not supposed to be looking at. There were no, you know, really bad shadows. There's no big whiteouts anywhere. Everything was framed properly. I mean, this sounds like basic stuff, but we've seen movies where that not even that is covered.
Yeah, none of that. Like, sometimes none of that is
right,
like Blood
right.
Predator. I mean, that was just a good example.
I thought the pacing was a little slow to beginning. It got better. I know the point where you didn't like all the killings was kind of annoying to you, but that sort of picked stuff up for me, which was good. But yeah, I would say the directing in this was pretty good,
yeah,
especially
right.
for an indie.
Yeah, there's not much continuity things. The
nope.
continuity things might have been with some of the inconsistency with the stuff, but that I think that
right.
I don't think that had to do with the direction. I think that had to do with like post, you know, stuff, which you know you might be able to say is direction.
The other nitpick I might say is, you know, towards the end when they all decide to dress up like badasses and go out and shoot, that was a little
on the nose.
We're gonna do that just because it's cool. Not
but
it's
I like
to the
that.
Plot.
I don't know. I'm cheesy. I like that kind of stuff. Like I like those guys coming out looking cheesy and goofy. And you know, you were looking at Ted's hair coming out and everything. So he looked great. Like I you know, it's like I think it was about the time of The Matrix. So they were trying to like look cool and
right,
stuff,
right.
you know, or whatever.
And I'll tell you what, for these guys, I don't know if that was their costumes or their clothes or what, but they did not seem to mind getting down and dirty. They did all their own stunt work, and they were flopping in the mud and falling into the swamp and getting filthy. So there's probably some interesting outtakes there.
Probably. I think there are outtakes on that DVD. Let's... I guess we got a few more minutes before we wrap it up. Is there...
The only other thing I did want to say, there were some times where I thought the music could have been better choices.
That's right, the music.
There was some incidental music that was kind of, it just seemed a little inappropriate or just kind of odd. But again, when you're an indie filmmaker, you're kind of limited in your choices.
Well, I think it's also, like I said, like at that point that you were saying that before, it was like more supposed to be like a romantic like little thing, you know? And so that was like this, you know, it was them walking and, you know, walking through the woods. And I was, you were like, oh, that music doesn't sound right.
Right,
you know?
Well, I didn't know that it was setting up the romantic part. It was just those guys walking.
Well, I kind of figured, not even though that I'd seen it before, but I had figured even, you know, period, like that was, you know, them as, you know, like all together, you know, they're all on a double date, you know, which that was a double date from hell.
No. Yeah, there was definitely some awkward moments, but, you know, I guess that happens.
Well, I mean, just the awkward part of being attacked by freaking
aliens.
And drug dealers who you have nothing to do with, you know, just you've seen their face, you know, you poor people.
Which seemed silly. I don't think it matters seeing their face so much as knowing their names.
Right, yeah.
Right, I mean, who's going to say? He's like, well, they look like this dude, I don't know.
Right. But, you know, he might have been able to describe him pretty well. He did have a pretty...
You would think that the bad guys would have been a little more careful about shouting out each other's names, because they did that an awful lot.
Yeah, and they didn't get mad. Like, he wasn't like, hey, don't call me Carlos.
Right,
you know,
right.
Don't go by my name. He didn't say that.
You're not Mr. Pink. I got somebody else called Mr. Pink.
See, that would have been cool.
Mr. Brown, that sounds like shit.
But see, I guess that would have been that would have been too on the nose of it being like,
yeah,
you know,
see,
that.
Tarantino has a way that just very few people can write like him. It's just,
yeah,
he can
and,
do it and get
and
away
if they
with
do
it.
Write like him, they're mimicking him.
Right.
And
he can do it and get away with it. Very few people else can do that.
Yeah. Well, I guess we can wrap this up and
start
kind of
talking
say
about our scores.
Yeah, scores. So tell them about the stinkometer.
So, as some of you know, and for the benefit of those who don't, our stinkometer is based on a 1 to 10 scale, by which 1 is much less stinkier than your average film, and 10 is lots and lots of stink. And then you can do every number in between, and you can do a half score if you want to get that subtle with it. So 1 is a pretty good movie, 10 is a very bad movie, and 5 is kind of a little in the middle. And then we talk about what scores we give, and then we have an overall stink score. And then at the end of the year, we'll tally it up and see who's the stinkiest of them all.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the
stinkiest
of
them all?
Of them all. And who's winning so far? Can you mention that?
It's hard to say. It's like I think there's a two-way tie at this moment.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll talk about that another time. But right. Yeah, there's.
So for me, I would say this is probably a 5.5. Not too stinky. It's got a few issues on there, but it's not too bad. I've seen much, 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 much worse than this. So
okay.
5.5 sounds good.
What do you think, Lenore?
I was going to give it a 3.
Oh,
wow.
I mean, it could be better, but it's not bad.
Okay, very
nice.
Oh,
that's
very
good.
A generous score.
Wow, she liked it more than Ginger Dead Man.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was confused by Ginger Dead Man. It just broke from reality for me. And I spent half the movie thinking the boyfriend and girlfriend were actually siblings.
We had that. I think we had that discussion.
Yeah,
it was a little awkward.
So you're saying the cookie driving the car kind of broke from reality with you?
Yeah, it did. I mean, these aliens might be real.
Yeah,
might
true.
Be, but a killer cookie man.
A Gary Busey killer cookie. Come
I
on,
know.
Give respect.
That hey, you know the other sequels did not have Gary Busey, and that's why they do not. They are not as good.
I know.
Although, I guess that's bring up the question of, if this is an oddly gelatinous alien, why wouldn't the difference in gravity or pressure or anything like that affect it? Didn't it get squished by the gravity?
Because the writer probably did not
think
about
it.
That.
Right, right.
Like in a scientific actual thought, because it's a movie, you know. But you gave it a 3. I actually was going to give it a 4.
Okay.
So that's really funny. Like, you gave it a
3, 4, 5.5.
Okay. Wow, that's, yeah. Because I was already in my head. I was like, oh, I think this is a 4. And then he said 5.5, and I was like, I'm surprised. But
okay.
Not really, you know. So that's good. That's a good score for this movie.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's, yeah. It's
roughly in the Hey, Stop Statting Me territory.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's got that kind of do-it-yourself kind of home video, but not really, you know, actually having a story and a script.
No Woozle, though.
No Woozle, no. we'll have to watch a movie that's... Never mind, I'll tell you later.
I think she'd like Don't Stop Me or Hey Stop Stabbing Me.
Yeah, you'd like that. And you probably like Gamebox 1.0, you know.
The Woozle steals your socks.
The Woozle?
Mm-hmm.
The Woozle.
It's never really explained.
Okay.
But he steals your socks.
He steals your socks.
Okay.
And then there's a person who doesn't like socks on the floor. No clothes on the floor.
Right.
No, so he kills, if anybody puts clothes on the floor, he kills them. You would like this movie. It's really funny and goofy.
He'd have killed me because most of my floor clothes end up on the floor.
Yeah.
Because like, it's easy. I throw it on the floor.
As long as if the floor's not messy, then you're okay.
There you go.
So.
Yeah. Do hampers count as on the floor if they're at the
bottom? No. If they're in the hamper, they're fine.
Right.
No, I'd probably be fine then.
Yeah, I think you'd be all right. I probably wouldn't. I'd be dead.
There you go.
But anyway, that's another movie that's Hey Stop Stabbing Me. But that was one of last year's picks, and that was a good high one. Polymorph is a good high one, like, you know, a good low score, you know, and everything. Which I figured this would be a movie that she would like in a way. It's scientific.
Scientific.
So, yeah. Apparently it's not scientific enough. It's not scientific enough because she just pointed out a very big science fact.
Not as much science as in Giant Claw, perhaps.
That was the last one we did, wasn't it?
I think so.
This might have been more realistic.
There you go.
We do know there are parasites that can control behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So this would probably be more realistic than Giant Claw.
I liked your brood parasite idea. I thought it was very cool. I didn't think about that before.
Well, there you go, James. It's a brood parasite, apparently.
There you go. And if you decide to write a sequel, that's your name, Brood Parasite.
Polymorph 2, Brood Parasite.
There you go. You know, they come back.
Polymorph 2, The Brood.
There is a movie called The Brood.
Yeah, there are several movies, The Brood.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. But, you know, it's understandable. You know, but yeah. So that was Polymorph, guys.
All right.
We had a fun time. It was an enjoyable movie.
Fun, except for getting chased out of our studio by lightning storms and thunder and fire alarms.
It could have been worse. There could have actually been a fire.
Yeah, we should probably go back and make sure the building's not on fire.
Yeah. Well, I think I still got to pick some stuff up anyway.
Yeah.
So,
got to save the monkeys.
I'm just hoping that the fire alarm's still not going off.
Oh my god, yes, please.
You know, that's the main reason we left was because we couldn't, like, we didn't think the place was on fire, but we did.
Turn off the alarms.
You can't turn off alarms, so hopefully a fire truck is there.
So we're here at the Archaeo Lab.
I did not hear a fire truck, though.
Nope, me either. That's why I want to check.
Okay. We should probably go do that.
Okay, we're going to go do that. Thank you guys for listening. Check out indiefilmcafe.reviews. Why did I say it like that? I don't know. I don't know. Thank you guys. And also check out indiefilmcafe.podbean. Check us out on iTunes. Check us out on Spotify, Stitcher,
Radio Public,
and Patreon. Where you can give us a dollar.
Set us up, baby. We need the moolah.
If your dollar a month helps Woo-hoo. Keep the doctor away.
That's right.
You know, that's what they say.
It keeps science going.
Keeps science going and IFC afloating.
You think maybe you could get us a NASA grant?
Probably not, but they do use some bad movies as training tools.
Nice. Maybe.
What?
Wow, that's
like
awesome.
Like some science movies? Like some bad science movies?
Yay.
That's fun.
That's awesome.
Basically, we should make you watch and see if you can spot all the errors.
We should make one.
Yes,
that's
we
like a really bad science movie
should.
On purpose.
Yes, we should.
That
on short
we could
film
get to...
with Professor Lenore here.
Yes, and Lenore could like be the leader of it, and then you could send it to NASA, and then
it'd
they
be
would
awesome.
Totally use it. I mean,
there's probably some people you'd have to contact.
What?
There's probably some people you'd have to contact, and I don't know who they'd be.
But you could find out.
You could find out. You could look into it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll let you guys know if it happens.
Yeah, that'll be an awesome like little Sick Flick Productions thing. Oh, but speaking of which, check out sickflickproductions.com.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Nice segue there. But yeah, so thank you guys for checking this out. I hope you guys watched Polymorph before listening to this. And I hope you guys actually, like, you know, tell us your thoughts. Let us know. Also, check us on YouTube. We do have some videos that are getting made, that have been getting made recently and everything. So we should have stuff on that.
Yep. Lots of stuff coming up. We want to make sure you understand.
Yeah, okay.
Keep you informed.
Keep you informed, like an update on stuff and things like that. So that should be out in the last week or so.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you guys for checking this out. And hope you guys enjoyed it and stay science-y.
I'm sorry.
Have a nice day.
Bye,
guys.
Bye.